Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Caitlin Davidson playing Cinderella.
And John Yee playing Prince Topher understudy.
Nice. And they are obviously here for Cinderella at the National Theater from now through November 29th. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Now, you said understudy. Have you played the part yet? Is he gone under the weather? Or what's the deal? What's the latest?
I have actually gone on quite a few times, and I went on recently in Atlanta for like the 12th time. It was the most nervous I've ever been because my entire family was there. But yeah, I've had the privilege of going on.
John is so great. He's a great prince.
I'm going to check it out tonight. So are you going to be the prince tonight?
That's maybe a great question. Maybe.
Sometimes it's kind of a last minute deal.
You never know. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's tell me a little bit about, before we get into the show, about each of you guys. Where did you grow up? How did you get into acting? And how did you hear Cinderella?
I am from Kansas, from a suburb outside of Kansas City. I grew up singing and dancing all the time, doing musicals. My parents, I'm very fortunate to have very supportive parents. And studied musical theater in college at the university.
Is it like a big Wizard of Oz thing when you're growing up in Kansas?
I have done that show 3 times. Yes. Once my initial performance, I was a munchkin.
Really?
At 10 years old. Yep. And then
nice
at
to
16.
See. You know, you've grown.
I've grown a little bit since then. I sometimes still sound like a munchkin. But then at 16, I was like a poppy and a flying monkey. And then...
Wait, you can actually be a poppy?
Yes.
I didn't know. Oh, I guess...
Isn't that crazy? You can do anything you want to do.
They always put me to sleep, so I never paid attention to that.
Right.
But
the flying monkeys, though, those are pretty scary.
Still scary. Yeah.
And then I was 19, I believe, the last time I got to do it. I've never played Dorothy, but I do love that show. But it is a big deal in Kansas, yes.
So that got you into musical theater, all that stuff.
Yes, at a very young age, was very entertained by the Wizard of Oz movie, Mary Poppins with Julie Andrews, mm-hmm. Disney movies, musicals, anything, singing and dancing. I just had to be a part of it.
Awesome. And then how'd you make your way to Broadway?
Well, I spent a few years in New York City. I was auditioning, doing lots of regional work. And I initially auditioned for Cinderella in the summer of 2013. The show was already running on Broadway, and they were having auditions, but nobody was actually leaving the show. So I was just auditioning just to be on file,
right?
Essentially. So that happened, and then you don't hear anything afterwards, and I go on, do other shows, and I get a call while I'm on tour with a production of White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Of course.
And
very timely.
Yes. And my agent asks me, can you put yourself on tape for the show? And also, you know, to understudy Cinderella and to understudy one of the stepsisters, they need you to also do a dance combination. So I was in the downtown Des Moines, Iowa YMCA, putting myself on tape, getting my friends to dance with me and tape me and play the music and read the sides.
Quick,
with
come
me.
Do this
there
with
was
me.
Like four
what
scenes and 3 songs, put myself on tape, try to make it look presentable.
That's funny.
And send it off. And I didn't hear anything for a week. And I was like, you know, somebody else probably got it. Like, it's kind of an immediate thing. And day 8, I got a call from my agent and said, you're going to be doing Cinderella on Broadway. And I was like, really?
Did you drop the phone or did you freak out?
I was okay. I mean, I definitely was very excited on the phone. And then I got off the phone and then I jumped on the bed of my hotel room and was kind of screaming. And then I called my mom. But yeah, so I was with the Broadway company for about 9 months in 2014.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then you're doing the national
and joined
tour.
The tour in January of 2015. And here I am.
Wow, talking with us.
Yes, talking with you in D.C. It's awesome.
I feel like, if I would have known, I would have brought some beds in here and we could have just jumped while we were talking.
I mean, that's kind of the deal. When I also, got the call that you're gonna come play Cinderella.
Yeah.
I also was in another hotel room and just screaming up and down and jumping on my bed. And then I called my mom.
Lots of bed jumping here.
Yeah,
awesome. All right, you, sir. You mentioned Atlanta, you said, your family?
Yes, born and raised in Atlanta, got... comparatively, a sort of a late start to musical theater. In high school, I auditioned for a production of Oklahoma. Did a couple of musicals in high school, studied musical theater at Elon University in North Carolina, took a 2-year hiatus to do Teach for America in Houston.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for knowing what Teach for America is. And then moved to New York in June of 2013 to pursue acting after my 2-year commitment with Teach for America. And then auditioned for this show exactly 1 year after moving to the city. And it was a series of callbacks between the New York company and the tour for about three, four weeks. Oh. And there was a series of dance calls, singing appointments, and the very last audition I had was probably on June 20th or 23rd. It was like a couple weeks later. It was another dance call, final singing sides call, and I got the call, I think that was a Friday. I got the call on Monday. Wow. That I was going to go on tour, and I was so excited. And I was fortunately going home that next week, and so I was able to actually celebrate with my family.
Perfect.
Celebrate that offer, and then went to go do Goodspeed in Connecticut, and then started the tour rehearsals in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny how people, you can come from two different places, but here you are. Is this your first, you said it's your first time, not only at National Theater, right? Also in D.C., at least since you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah. We were passing through to Rhode Island, and we stopped here, so I don't really remember much, but this is, first time. I've already been to some of the monuments and the memorials, and Georgetown. Had some cupcakes. They're so good. And
you can go after we leave here too. You know, you can go back.
Well,
there.
Maybe we'll have to make a pit stop. Would you be okay with that, John?
All these good ideas. All these great ideas.
Georgetown cupcake appreciates the unintended plug there.
Yeah. But, you'll get a call.
They probably don't really need our help anyway. No. But yeah, so first time, and so I'm very excited to explore and see what the city has to offer and be here for Thanksgiving. And
yeah,
it's a great city so far.
Awesome. Definitely. Well, I don't need to tell you this because you've been there for a while, but I love National Theater. I mean, it's such a beautiful space. What's it like performing in there?
It's been great. It's been great. We had a great audience last night. We just opened and we are looking forward to seeing, you know, the other audiences come in, and, it's a great crew. We have a great crew that travels with us. We also pick up local crew and local musicians, and they've been really lovely so far.
Intimate theater too. We've seen a range of theaters throughout the U.S. This is probably our 38th or 39th city since the beginning, and this house, the audience reactions are palpable. You know, you can really gauge just how into it they are, and I like that.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I heard a woman singing along last night.
Oh, yeah?
during my song.
You know, which song was it?
It was in my own little corner, but it was I have a reprise of that song, and there was a little musical interlude, and I heard this woman da 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 just singing along, sort of on pitch, and but just loving it so much that she just had to sing. She just had to sing along.
Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah. At our curtain call, if you look out at the audience, they're all singing along with us, which is such.
That's great.
Such a joy to see, to know that a show can still bring that sort of liveliness to an audience in a day and age where, you know, there's so many types of theater. So to know that we can just bring back the traditional songs that people grew up with is really special.
Yeah.
I love seeing people sing along with us at the end. It's so heartwarming.
Yeah, and you mentioned the songs that people grew up with. Just in case some of our listeners don't know, this isn't your Bippity Boppity Boops of the Disney. This is it might have originally been a Julie Andrews TV movie, right?
Correct.
Right?
1957.
And I know you grew up loving Julie Andrews, so there's the tie-in. All right.
Yes.
We're not just circling around and around.
No.
We're making sense here.
Oh, yes.
I think. just in case someone's unfamiliar with those songs that began with that, it's the Rodgers and Hammerstein. Let's go through a couple of the numbers then. Which are some of your highlights throughout the show?
I do love In My Own Little Corner, In My Own Little Chair. It's the first big number for Cinderella on stage. She's by herself, and you really get to see her world and see where she's coming from. I love The Ball. I love 10 Minutes Ago with the Prince. I love Impossible with Liz McCartney, our fairy godmother, and one of my favorite songs right now is Lovely Night, when it's with the Stepp family. We're sort of reliving the ball, and Cinderella's pretending, you know, well, I can imagine what it might have been like, and it would have been this lovely, lovely night. And it's the first time you see the family sort of behaving like a family, where they're all getting along, mm-hmm. and they're not separated between the Stepp family and Cinderella. And the ladies, Blair Ross is the stepmother, Amy Garcia is Charlotte, and Kim Foray is Gabrielle, the stepsister. They're just really wonderful ladies, and it's really fun to play with them every night.
Now, you said it's your favorite right now. Does it sort of rotate? Or
yeah, you know, because it's so hard to pick a favorite. But I felt like, yeah, that's what I'm loving right now. And I'm open to that maybe changing, you know.
As you should.
Yeah, it could change, you know. Like, I also enjoy, there's a song called Loveliness of Evening, which is actually not originally from the music, from Cinderella. It's a Rodgers and Hammerstein trunk song, essentially, I believe, that was cut from South Pacific. And they've put that in our show. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, romantic, sweeping, but sort of brief duet between the prince and Cinderella.
Nice.
And I enjoyed that song as well. It's just hard to pick a favorite.
Yeah, definitely. How about you, sir? What go through some of your numbers, that the prince's numbers.
The prince's numbers. I love 10 minutes ago, just like Caitlin said, I think singing that song, it is the first moment they get to meet. And every time I am able to sing that with Caitlin, it feels like the first time. Mm. It's written inherently to sort of keep the audience on their toes as to what's going to happen. And it's also very simple. And it's full of beautiful melodies. And so I love singing 10 minutes ago. I love dancing the waltz. I think that's always a dream. It's the iconic moment, I think, of Cinderella. And so to be able to dance the waltz, it's sort of singing through dance, right? It's like we're not really speaking to each other, but you can hear.
But you're saying so much.
We're saying so much in the dance. And to go along the lines with the sort of Rodgers and Hammerstein library of songs that weren't ever put into a show, Prince Over sings sort of a monologue in the beginning called Me, Who Am I? And it's a quest to find out who he is, and it's also a depiction of him not really knowing where he wants to go. And so singing that song is the opening of the show, and it's a lot of fun because you get to see it lays the groundwork and exposition for exactly who Prince Over is, and is a lot of fun to sing.
Yeah, our prince is, he has his character's more fleshed out. A lot of our characters are actually, I feel, more 3D than you're used to seeing. So it's a fun twist.
We don't need to
twist.
Wear glasses, right?
Yeah, you know 3D right. glasses, but you're gonna see more of the humans of, nice. You know, see that the prince is a human. He's not just Prince Charming.
Right. Not up on some pedestal.
Right.
No, he has feelings and insecurities.
And same with Cinderella. You get to really kind of see her journey and see the backstory there.
Yeah. Nice. And as you're talking about the waltz and everything, I'm just imagining, I can't wait to see it tonight, but I'm imagining, you know, there's got to be some awesome costuming going on here.
Oh, you better believe it.
Talk about the transition of, I'm sure, your little rags to riches wardrobe changes, right?
Well, we are incredibly fortunate to have William Ivy Long's beautiful, beautiful designs. He won his 6th Tony Award with these costumes from Cinderella.
But other than that, what's he ever done?
I mean,
6 Tonys, holy crap.
Yeah, and he has more now, doesn't he?
Yeah,
probably.
Yes. They're probably multiplying.
Probably more. So that transformation is pretty amazing. I discovered it's 15 to 18 seconds long, the transformation from rags into the dress. She goes to the ball. But there are actually multiple transformations in our show, so don't blink, because
you can't blink or you'll miss it.
Yeah,
I've always wondered how it's done. Is this sort of like a magician that doesn't give away the tricks? Or
yeah, it's definitely magic. You're going to have to talk to the fairy godmother about that. but I can say that William Ivy Long used to work for Siegfried and Roy, so he has a lot of tricks up his sleeve, but he did say that it's the simplest way is usually the best way. Mm-hmm. So it's deceptively simple. It looks complicated, but it's actually pretty simple.
I'd almost rather not know how it's done. You know, it keeps
I can't tell you anyway. So
you're gonna have to come see the show and make your own inferences.
I like that. How about the set?
You want to
the set? We have Luisa's. Seven semi trucks that
travel,
carry the entire stage set, costumes, everything,
lights,
from city
props.
To city.
Yeah. Oh, good, because I thought you meant on stage. I couldn't figure out how Cinderella's is she a truck driver now? Yeah. I thought it was
we're
a pumpkin.
That contemporary.
No, that might be.
This
yeah.
is way different.
That's a different version.
I'm not coming anymore. No, okay. So that's hauling everything.
That's hauling everything. Yeah. This set is beautiful, sweeping, romantic. You know, big staircases and the Stepp family's house, a huge moon, stars. Like, it's really beautiful.
Palace steps.
Yeah.
Palace steps. Lots of beautiful
and trees. Oh yeah, trees too. Yeah, because we're in a wooded glen.
Mm-hmm. Wooded glen.
It's an levels. Enchanted forest, you know.
Oh, yes. That's true. And I can't ask how it's enchanted because you're not allowed to tell me. So.
Fairy godmother. Got to talk to the fairy godmother.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to the fairy godmother.
Who plays this role? Who plays the fairy godmother?
Liz McCartney.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me, what's it like working with her?
Oh, she's awesome. Yeah. Liz is great. She's goofy and funny and wonderful, and she brings that to the stage, and as well as her incredible talent and her beautiful voice. She's, to me, she's more of the mother figure that Cinderella never really has, you know, and she's just warm and lovely and magical.
And talk about your, you know, because you said the mother she never has. You have the evil stepmother and the mm-hmm. evil stepsisters. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're going to see you guys just going at it on stage because they're evil, but you know, talk about your relationship with them behind the scenes too. Like, what's it like flipping the switch? And you know, I'm sure you guys are all friends behind the stage, and then you got to go out there and go at each other.
So, in our version, I don't think I can really categorize the stepsisters as evil. I'd like to say they don't know any better. And same with Madame, the stepmother. I feel like she's got goals. She's got a mission. She's got to get these daughters like married off, and mm-hmm. if it can be a prince, like all the better, and make their social status a little bit higher. So yes, there is a little bit of like she's not the nicest person ever, and the daughters tension. Don't really know any better. But the ladies themselves, as people, are the nicest people and so funny. We have so much fun. I actually started this tour as one of the stepsisters.
Really?
Yes, for the first 10
Which
months.
Which one?
Gabrielle.
Okay.
So, nerdy glasses, like has some really great hairdos. And there's actually like another little love story with her and a new character in our show, a revolutionary named Jean-Michel.
Nice.
So I got to have a lot of time backstage with stepmother and the other stepsister and get to have that family time backstage. So I don't get a lot of that now as Cinderella, but we do have a lot of fun on stage.
How did that switch happen? How did you start as Gabby, the stepsister, and switch over to Cinderella?
So when I joined the Broadway company, I was in the ensemble, and I understudied Cinderella and the stepsister and performed both. And but then I left the show to do White Christmas again on tour.
It keeps coming back.
I know.
Just when you thought you were out.
Right. Playing Judy Haynes, one of the sisters, and got a call from the director.
Is that Vera Ellen role?
Or uh-huh. Okay. Yes. So dancing, tapping, that was lots of fun.
No.
Yes. No. Yes. 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 So I got a call from our director while I was out on tour with White Christmas and asking, you know, our Gabrielle is leaving. Would you be interested? And I said, of course. And so I had a day between the closing of White Christmas and starting rehearsals in Cincinnati with the tour. So for the first 10 months of tour, I was playing Gabrielle, and our Cinderella was leaving. Her year contract was up. She was ready to move on. And I expressed interest.
Midnight had just told, you know, she had to go.
Yeah, she had to go. Pumpkin was ready to be a pumpkin again. And so I expressed interest, and we auditioned, and then it happened.
Nice.
And now I get to delve into this, which is really cool. I kind of can't believe that I've gotten to sink my teeth into not only the ensemble and then the stepsister, and now I actually get to do Cinderella.
It's cool. You get to kind of see the show from different angles.
At this point, I feel like I could do a one-woman show right now. Cinderella.
Well, I guess we don't need you here anymore.
No. But we need everyone. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see it. Yeah. I could do it, but you don't want to see it.
Awesome.
We need everybody.
Awesome. She's literally in her own little corner by herself. we're going to change the title.
Oh, God.
I'm sure Kaylin would actually be able to recite every line of this musical.
Probably.
Maybe.
Because we hear, number one, we hear it so often, but because you've done so many.
Well, we got time, so yeah. Here we go.
Oh my gosh, let's here we go. You won't even need to see the show tonight.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll just hear the libretto right here and right now.
All right, let's do it. No, but speak about, in terms, speaking of there being other people in the show, talk about how it's, you know, sort of your, as the understudy, have you have, uh-huh. how you have to be ready. Because what were you doing before you?
How much time do you have?
Well, she's gonna be talking the whole show, so you got some time.
So the question is, how much time do we know before we go on?
Yes, and just the idea of it's like being a backup quarterback. You got to be ready.
Yeah, it's a good point. There, it's been as soon as 2 hours that I have found out, and as long as a couple weeks or months prior to know that if Andy, who plays our prince. Full time. If he takes like a vacation or personal days, mm-hmm. I would know. But there are other times when, you know, I will find out that morning. And I'm very fortunate to have been here since the very beginning and have been in rehearsals. Every week we either have rehearsals for the understudies or for replacements that are coming in or for new ensemble members. And they will the company will often use the understudies in place of the principals for the rehearsals, not mm-hmm. only to give us more rehearsal time, but also to give the principals a little bit of a break from their HO week. And I've been fortunate to have enough rehearsals to know and to discover my version of the prince and to feel really comfortable with that. But like I said, last time I went out in Atlanta, it's in my body, it's in my voice, like it's all good. And I was so nervous. Every time it feels like the first time. Yeah. My brother-in-law, when I was home last, like a couple months ago in the summer, asked, is the novelty gone? I said, no, absolutely not, because it's live theater. Anything can happen. And in the type of company I work with, like everyone's such a gifted actor. So every moment of every show is different. And that's the beauty and the joy of it. And so I love it. Every time I've done it, it has been different. It's felt new. It's felt fresh. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I also understudied Jean-Michel. Which is the revolutionary she spoke of. And I haven't gone on for Jean-Michel as much, but Jean-Michel's a lot of fun because he has sparse moments on stage, but they're really energetic, comedic, and then he's gone, mm-hmm. you know, for a little bit.
But even if our people come out and let's say they catch, our listeners, they come out and catch, you said his name's Andy that plays?
Yeah.
Let's say they're there on a night that he is the prince. Where should they look for you in the ensemble?
You'll see me. You'll see me with a long green coat on in the ball, and you'll see me in armor during some of the Topher scenes. You'll see me as a I don't know what you would call it during Princess Giving a Ball, but a village person. So I'm in the ensemble.
He's tall and handsome. You'll find him.
Can't miss him. Nice. Did you hear that? That was pretty good.
Wasn't nice.
We've played opposite each other because when he's gone on for Jean-Michel and I was Gabrielle. Yes. Yeah. So we've played opposite now in two different capacities.
I haven't put that together until now. That's really interesting. Yes. Yeah.
He just had an epiphany. Yeah. I saw it. A light literally went off in the street.
Yeah. Sweeney Todd style, right? Epiphany. Yeah. No, we have literally.
Hopefully not Sweeney Todd style. No. Oh, man. Yeah. Easy, my friends.
We've gone on for Jean-Michel and Gabrielle and us, Topher and Ello.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's fun.
It is fun.
You guys have
fun.
A little rapport going on here.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, it's amazing to work. Caitlin is one of the best scene partners I've ever had on stage. And she's always fully present and you could see it, the encouragement in her eyes. So it's really nice.
Thanks, John. He's great, too.
I'm just going to back away and you guys will just interview each other now. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, is there anything else that we left out? I mean, let's say, our listeners have seen the Disney movie. They've maybe even seen this version on Broadway. You know, they've seen it a bunch and they're on the fence. Do I really want to go see it again? Why do they come to this? What's the pitch?
If you have 2.5 hours where you kind of just want to escape your life, not because it's bad in any way, but just to leave your worries behind and come enjoy this story of rags to riches Cinderella, be highly entertained, laugh, cry, you know, sigh, the romance of it all. It's for kids of all ages, from 1 to 92. We're getting into that season. It's kids from 1 to 92. It's it's for everyone. It's family friendly. The kids enjoy it, but it's a great date night. And then, of course, the the people that have seen the original 1957 and Leslie Ann Warren version and will enjoy the music that they know and love.
She's dropping Christmas lyrics over here.
Sorry.
Our show advocates for charity, generosity, and kindness through a lens of comedy, through a lens of love and relationships. And I do believe that that message is so powerful, especially now. I feel like people come to the theater hungry to hear those messages. And so I think you should come see the show because we want to share those universal messages and to give you guys a great time, you know, just like Caitlin said, for 2.5 hours to escape your worries.
We need it now more than ever, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Cool.